We're looking at Richard Baxter, a Puritan from the 17th century, born in 1615, died in 1691. One of the great sayings attributed to him was, "I preached as never sure to preach again, and as a dying man to dying men." Those words from Baxter sum up the essence of Puritan preaching. Baxter was born near Shrewsbury, Shropshire, an only son. His father in debt and gambled, his mother in poor health, so he lived with maternal grandparents until he was 10 years old. His father was converted through privately reading the scriptures, so Richard came home. "It pleased God," writes Baxter, "to instruct and change my father by the bare reading of the scriptures in private, without either preaching or godly company or any other books but the Bible." He said that God used his father's serious talks about God and eternity as, quote, "the instrument of my first convictions and appropriation of a holy life." Baxter's school education consisted of 4 ignorant teachers in 6 years, 2 of them immoral. Fortunately, he had an inquisitive mind with reading and study as his interests. Long periods of illness gave time for reading, particularly the works of the Puritan William Perkins, who lived from 1558 to 1602. Baxter was also deeply moved by Richard Sibbes, whose period of life was 1577 to 1635. His volume, The Bruised Reed, which was based on Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3, and repeated in Matthew 12, verse 20, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice." Baxter recorded, "Sibbes opened more the love of God to me and gave me a livelier apprehension of the mystery of redemption and how much I was beholden to Jesus Christ." He could not put a date on his conversion. Baxter then had opportunity to attend Wroxeter Grammar School and became not only a preacher and pastor, but the author of some 10 million words, quote, "the most voluminous English theologian of all time," according to J.I. Packer. His best-known writings include The Saint's Everlasting Rest, plus the classic The Reformed Pastor. Baxter's historical setting is firmly 17th century Puritanism. We look at the 17th century. We do this to place it in its historic setting. Queen Elizabeth I had died in 1603. She was followed by James VI of Scotland, who became James I of England, and he lived to 1625. Significant, though, is the year 1611, the publication of the Authorized or King James Version of the Bible, which was 4 years before Baxter was born. Then followed Charles I, who was beheaded in 1649. The Lord Protector Oliver Cromwell guided from 1653 to 58. He was followed by Charles I from 1660 to 1685, and then James II, 1685 to 88. He was deposed in the Glorious Revolution, the last Roman Catholic monarch of England, Scotland and Ireland. His 15-year-old Protestant daughter, Mary II, married William of Orange, known in Northern Ireland and Scotland as King Billy. He was invited to take the English throne and installed in 1689. Then there was the famous Battle of the Boyne in 1690. James was defeated, exiled to France, where he was protected by Louis XIV. So all of this was part of Richard Baxter's life historically. There were some great composers born during this period. Corelli in 1653. Pachelbel, known for his famous Pachelbel's Canon in 1653. Purcell, 1659. Vivaldi, 1678. Telemann, 1681. J.S. Bach, 1685. And Scarlatti, 1685. The great surge from England to the New World was the Plymouth Colony in 1620. Then, from 1614 to 1648, the Central Europe 30 Years' War, in which there were 8 million deaths. 1631, Mount Vesuvius erupted. 1666, the Great Fire of London. Other Puritans during this time were John Owen, 1616 to 1683, Richard Sibbes, who had died in 1635, and the well-known John Bunyan, 1628 to 1688, and then Matthew Henry, that we'll be looking at next week, 1662 to 1714. We need to notice, though, the great ejection. After the restoration of Charles II, there was St. Bartholomew's Day, so called, on August the 24th, 1662, or better known by many as Black Bartholomew, in co-sequence of the Act of Uniformity passed by Parliament in May that year, in which more than 2,000 ministers were ejected or expelled from their churches, residences, and incomes because they would not conform to the use of the Book of Common Prayer as the uniform worship of order in the Church of England. Baxter voiced his wish that all ejected 2,000 clergy could have become overseas missionaries. Our next point is Puritanism. The term Puritan was first used in the 1560s of English Protestants who considered reforms under Elizabeth incomplete and wanted more purification. John Flavel, who lived from 1630 to 1691, wrote, "The scriptures teach us the best way of living, the noblest way of suffering, and the most comfortable way of dying." The Puritans understood that a mindless Christianity fosters a spineless Christianity. They taught that preparing to die is the first step in learning to live. Puritanism was a theological movement tied to the Reformation, scriptures, Trinitarian theology, Reformed church service, rights of conscience, stressed conversion, and political involvement. Puritanism was initially a term of abuse, and at times still is today, but refers to the desire for further reform of the Elizabethan and Stuart Church of England, and focus on Reformed theology. It was faith shaped by struggle with popular religious culture and Roman Catholicism. In preaching and pastoral work, the Puritans strongly emphasized the conscience. Scrupulous to know the truth and put truth into practice, irrespective of the cost. Puritan preachers never finished preaching until they proclaimed the application, which simply means they applied the word as they preached. Many were university graduates, but they did not overemphasize an intellectual or theoretical view of truth. Spiritual conflict made Puritan maturity. They accepted conflict as their calling. An American Indian leader, by comparison, described North American Protestantism as, quote, man-centered, manipulative, success-oriented, self-indulgent and sentimental, 3,000 miles wide and half an inch deep, spiritual dwarfs. The English-born retired professor of theology at Regent College, Vancouver, British Columbia, J.I. Packer, who became an expert in Puritanism, chose Richard Baxter as his research topic for an Oxford doctorate. Baxter's reprinted works cover some 23 volumes, about two-thirds of his total writing. Dr. Geoffrey Nuttall was appointed to supervise Baxter's thesis, which was entitled The Redemption and Restoration of Man in the Thought of Richard Baxter. The extensive work of 499 pages and nearly 150,000 words earned Baxter an Oxford D.Phil, Doctor of Philosophy. The thesis is on deposit at the Bodleian Library in Oxford, but unfortunately was not published for another 50 years. J.I. Packer has written, Puritanism was an evangelical holiness movement with the vision of spiritual renewal, national and personal, in the state, the church, the home, in education, evangelism, and economics, in individual discipleship and devotion, and in pastoral care and competence. Baxter was ordained deacon by the Bishop of Worcester in 1638, continued his studies and began to preach. He continued reading Puritan authors like William Ames and Anthony Burgess. He became assistant curate at Bridgnorth, but described the people as gospel hardened. His significant place of ministry was Kidderminster, 1641 to 1660, a town of some 2,000 mainly revelling, ignorant, rude adults, bereft of any lively, serious preaching. Baxter records that when he arrived there was about one family in a street that worshipped God and called on his name. He set forth the need for personal conversion, instruction about faith, repentance, being found by Christ and true life in Christ, regeneration and walking with Christ in discipleship. He preached from a manuscript for an hour. His sermons described as a combination of piercing words and a gentle, loving spirit. An evangelist, he frequently directed his hearers to life and death questions. Will you or will you not turn and live? Will you now take seriously the things you say you believe about sin, Christ, heaven and hell? He has written of sovereign grace, the renewal of the heart and the need to learn and teach the faith in Gildas Silvianus, known as the Reformed Pastor. God soon began to work in the town. The church building held about 1,000, and it was soon necessary to build 5 galleries. From about 1653, he commenced the practice of helping his people by catechizing with questions regarding the state of their souls before God. With two assistants assisting, he spent 2 days a week examining his people in the catechism. His pastoral ministry was marked by a dramatic transformation of the whole life of the community. Baxter himself gives the account that the Lord's Day had been sports day before his arrival. Now there was the absence of disorder in the streets, which echoed with some 100 families singing psalms and repeating sermons. The Scottish preacher Sinclair Ferguson has written, quote, "Richard Baxter preached in such a way that his sermon so connected with life in 17th century Kidderminster England that the truth he spoke exploded during the week like time bombs planted in his congregation's memories." In 1875, a statue of Baxter preaching was erected in the town centre of Kidderminster with the following inscription. "Between the years 1641 and 1660, this town was the scene of the labours of Richard Baxter, renowned equally for his Christian learning and pastoral fidelity. In a stormy and divided age, he advocated unity and comprehension, pointing the way to the everlasting rest. Churchmen and nonconformists united to raise the memorial in AD 1875. He was constantly studying, reading, and remembering what he read, despite being constantly sick throughout his life. Although Puritans as a group were great sufferers, Baxter suffered more than most. From the age of 21, seldom an hour free from pain. A tubercular cough, nosebleeds, fingernail bleeding, migraines, inflamed eyes, kidney stones, gallstones, plus more. Following the 1662 ejection, in which he became a nonconformist, hatred and harassment increased due to his now being a prominent nonconformist leader. He was arrested several times for preaching, plus periods in prison, confiscation of his belongings to pay his fines, including his own bed on which he was lying ill, plus a trial before the evil, obnoxious Judge Jeffress at the age of 70, followed by 18 months' jail. Jeffries drank himself into the grave, age 40. After being single for much of his life, Baxter married Margaret Charlton, a brilliant woman, 21 years younger, highly strung and obsessive. They ministered to each other until she died 19 years later in 1681. The day before Richard Baxter died, he was continuing his practice of the past 40 or more years, meditating on heaven, the description of the heavenly Jerusalem. He looked at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 to 24. "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who were enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." He said through pain, "Oh, I thank him. I thank him. The Lord teach you to die." Baxter's words haunt all believers, especially preachers. Quote, "Let the awful and important thoughts of souls being saved by my preaching, or left to perish and be condemned to hell by negligency, I say this awful and tremendous thought, dwell upon your spirit." And we'll pray. Father, as we thank you for the life and ministry of Richard Baxter, even more so we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is the author, the Alpha and the Omega, that he is the beginning and the end, the one who came and died for us on that dreadful cross, who rose again and took us with him, where we are seated at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. We ask that the story of Richard Baxter's life will illustrate what we can mean in our understanding of the Christian faith. May we be linked not just to Baxter's story, but more than that, to the scriptures which he loved and from which he preached. Be all glory to God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Amen.